My topic today is called Simple Decisions. Let me tell you, everything that could go wrong today went wrong. Our printer that's been working like for 5 years went bad. So Tony had to run and buy a new printer, and then we couldn't set it up. You know, they're so hard to set up nowadays, you know. And but Andy just came in and just embarrassed us all and set it right up. And you have your bulletins, right? Yeah. All right. Amen. Amen. Well, my topic is called today, Simple Decisions. And I want to start with Luke chapter 5. And I'm talking about baptism today. Baptism is a simple decision. What is baptism? A lot of people make it spookier than it has to be. Baptism is just a symbol of the faith that occurred in your heart. It's like an engagement ring. You know, when people say, when a man says to a woman, I love you, but if he doesn't put a ring on it, if you like it, then what? Beyonce sing it. Put a ring on it, right? Same with Jesus Christ. He says, I know you say you love me, but are you willing to prove it? Are you willing to get wet? Now, Jesus himself demonstrated one day he came and was baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, no, you don't have to be baptized. You're perfect. He says, I should be baptized from you. And Jesus says, no. This is how we fulfill the whole truth. God wants you to be baptized. In your bulletins, if you open them on your right side, it will say Mark 16:16. If we could read it together in your bulletins. On the top right, it says, go ahead, ready? Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And whoever doesn't believe, condemned. That's an easy one to remember. Mark 16:16. Amen? Jesus commanded his people to be baptized. Baptism is important part of our obedience to him. Now, when I was a new Christian, I believed that God doesn't care about small acts of obedience. I thought it's the big ones that count. I thought that God was waiting till I was perfect, till I was ready. And when he sees me ready, he will ask me one big ask. I call it one big ask. He'll say, Alex, are you ready to go to India for me? Like Mother Teresa. No, I'm not. But you know, sometimes we sing, I'll do anything for you, Jesus. Jesus, I'll believe in you and I will go to the ends of the earth. And God says, I'm not asking you to go to the ends of the earth. I'm asking you to make a small decision, simple decision for me. Life is full of simple decisions, and that's where we get tested. You know, when you come to a job, they don't automatically give you a manager position without any training. They ask you to do simple tasks. When you become part of the church, you don't become a pastor the next day. You grow through a process, and before you know it, if that's the gift that God has given you, then that's what you're going to do. Amen? And so, life is full of small decisions. Simple decision can put you in motion to a successful and unexpected outcome. Simple decisions can put you. Learn to just ignore some things, distractions, and focus on the Word of God. Amen. Amen. The kid doesn't like my preaching, so it's okay. Let me read this again. A simple decision can put you into motion, can put into motion a successful and unexpected outcome. I'm going to talk about a few people in the Bible. Peter is the first one of them. Peter was a fisherman who had a little business going on the Lake of Galilee. Actually, I was there many years ago. I was there at the Lake of Galilee, and I ate the fish that Peter would be eating in those days. And so Peter was a fisherman, and he had a brother named Andrew, and they were a night fisherman. You know, because for most people, they come to the market in the morning to buy some fish. So the fishermen, the people who caught the fish, had to go at night and catch all night. Well, this time, Peter was tired, and he... Let me read you this story. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of Galilee, this is Jesus doing everything on his own, one-man show, kind of like I am today. Jesus didn't have any disciples yet, but look at this. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of Galilee, great crowds pressed in to hear on him to listen to the word of God. Now, there's no great crowds pressing me in today. I'm comfortable. I'm doing good. Amen. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And so one of those fishermen was Peter. And Jesus is being pressed. He's being pushed. He says, Peter, can I get into your boat? One simple ask. Can I get into your boat and preach from your boat so they don't push me? They're pressing me. I'm going to get wet. So Peter is like this. Yes, you can use my boat. Simple, right? Besides, you're kind of entertainment. Nothing exciting happens here. Too much. So go ahead and preach. So Jesus keeps preaching and preaching, and Peter washes his boat, washes his nets. And watch what happens in verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. So he's asking him for a second ask. He says, Peter, can you go out now and throw in your nets and catch some fish? And here Peter, as a professional fisherman, starting to, object to Jesus' request. He says, Jesus, you know what? I'm a fisherman, you're a preacher. You stick to preaching, I'll stick to fishing. He could have said that. He could, remember, Peter was irritated because he was catching all night. Wouldn't you be? He was a little frustrated. Tired, you know, and this is his business. Imagine if you were a salesman and you were working all day and you didn't sell anything. You would be a little frustrated. And you work hard. Peter was working hard all night. He missed sleep. Right? And so Jesus says, go throw in the nets. What? Get them dirty again? I just washed them, Jesus. He could have said that, but watch what Peter does. Peter starts objecting a little bit. But then he says, fine. Because you said it, I'll just throw in the net. Fine, I'll do it. Wasn't expecting much. Really, he probably wanted to embarrass Jesus and say, listen, you don't know. Just stick to preaching. Stick to your teaching job, and that's what you're good at. I'm good at fishing. But something incredible happened. But before I go into what happened, that was the second ask. And Peter could have said, no, I'm not going to do it. That's what Peter could have said. And he would have missed on the greatest blessing of his life. He could have said, no, Jesus, I'm tired. I'm not going to do it. Go find some other sucker. Come on, are you with me? Say amen. Say louder. All right, that's better. Hallelujah. And so Peter says, fine, I'll throw in the nets, Jesus, just because you say it. Notice, Peter doesn't know Jesus yet. He just knows that he's a preacher. He's not his disciple yet. He's running his small business out of his boat. He could have said, listen, my mother-in-law is cranky. No, Peter had a mother-in-law. My wife is cranky. She wants some money. We have to pay taxes. Jesus, I just don't have any time. I got to do a second job. No, what he does, he obeys Jesus and says, fine, I'll throw in the nets. A lot of times, Jesus will ask us to do simple acts of obedience. A lot of us, you know, are waiting for a thunder from heaven or a dream or a vision for God to come and tell us to do something for him. But he's not asking you to do that yet. He says, if you are faithful in little things, I will put you over great things. And one of those little things he's asking you to do is to be baptized. Amen. Many of you today will be baptized. And some of you are like, oh no, I didn't bring in clothes. That's fine. We got it covered. We got everything covered. Some of you don't even know it, but you will be baptized today. Amen. Amen. And so when Jesus said that to him, Jesus was still in the boat and Peter was in a boat. And Andrew, probably his brother Andrew, was in a boat. There was three of them in a boat. So Jesus goes with them, and probably Andrew is looking at Peter like winking, you know, and Peter is looking at Andrew like, oh, come on. You know how two brothers talk with each other without even speaking words. You know what I mean? Brothers, they're brothers. They understand each other. They're laughing at Jesus inside. I'm like, come on, really? Just do it, Peter said. Just do it, Andrew. Just do it. All right? And so, watch this, verse 6. Let's read verse 5. Master Simon replied, we worked hard all night and didn't catch anything. But if you say so, I'll let down the net again. And this time, their nets were full of fish and began to tear. So Jesus did something. I don't know. Did he get a family of fish running through there or something? Did he create some kind of a magnetic field where fish were going crazy and all coming that way? Or did he just speak to the fish? Because remember, he created the fish. He can speak to the fish. And fish were created for our... Well, anyway, when we eat them, we give glory to God. So God gets glory through us eating fish. God gets glory from us drinking apple juice. Amen? Bible says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Amen? So even fish was probably excited. They were probably fighting. Who's going to get to the net first? I know they were going to die, but they were going to do it. Take one for the team, you know? And so the fish just started jumping in this net. And Peter is noticing that the nets are ripping. And so he calls James and John. That's how Jesus calls these guys knew each other. Peter, Andrew, James and John, the disciples of Jesus. They were all businessmen. They were all working together. The nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. Verse 7. A shout for help brought more partners in other boat. And soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Wow. Catching all night without Jesus. Catching one time. One dropping the nets once. And they're bringing in so much fish. Watch this. And this is my daughter Abby was laughing. My daughter finds everything in the Bible that's funny. And then she talks about it. She's just a funny person. You know how funny people, they just see funny things. Sad people see sad things. Depressed people see, anyway. and so she gets a kick out of this. When Simon realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, watch this. So Simon Peter, the boat is full of fish, right? Simon Peter, watch this. You got to see this. Simon Peter goes on his knees. There's fish here. So he moves the fish. Goes on his knees. Falls in front of Jesus' feet. And the fish is probably slapping him with their tail. This is for unbelief. This is for not believing. Peter was awesome struck. Actually, this word is in the Bible. Awesome struck. Peter was awesome struck. He was so overwhelmed. He was like, have you ever had God do something so overwhelming for you that you're just like, oh, I'm no nothing. Sometimes when we walk and we don't experience the presence of God, we begin to believe that we're good. But then one act of God in our life and we realize, oh God, how small am I? How imperfect am I? How perfect are you? And so this is what happened to Peter. He was just so overwhelmed. He's like, Lord, you're way bigger than me. I don't even deserve to be in your boat. So listen to what he says. Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. When we encounter the presence of God, we don't claim to be good. We claim to be sinners. Because compared to perfection. Now notice, Jesus didn't condemn him. That's how he felt. He just was probably feeling, man, I didn't believe you. I was laughing at you when you said throw in the nets. You are somebody special. You are. How do you explain that? How do you explain Jesus' miracles? There's, you know how there's a show called Mythbusters? I wish they would take some of Jesus' miracles and just try to bust them. I really do. Because nobody is really trying to bust Jesus' miracles. Now, the shows are trying to recreate miracles, like the hero, like the Modern Family, like they all fell into this water and they all had superpowers. What other shows are up there that people, X-Men, right? Somehow they became all mutants and things like that. So people are trying to recreate the miracles, but they're not, nobody's really denying the miracles of Jesus. They are real. They were real. These are real people Jesus is dealing with. And then watch this. Verse 9. For he was awesome struck by the number of fish they had caught. As were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for men." And watch this, verse 11. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed him. Another gospel says to us, Jesus, follow me and I'll make you fisher of men. And they left everything and followed him. God is asking you, God is asking me to make a simple decision for him. And that decision, first decision after you believe in him, is to be baptized. I want to give you another quick story before we go into this. David was a little nobody. He was a 15-year-old shepherd boy. And his father says to him, go to the battlefield, David, and visit your brothers. They were in war. David was the eighth brother, and two of his oldest brothers was fighting a war, Israel against Philistines. And when David didn't reject his father, didn't say, Dad, I'm just too little. Why don't you send a third brother, or fourth, or fifth, or sixth, or seventh? Why do you have to send the eighth one? Why do I have to do everything? Right? I'm watching the sheep. But he didn't. He obeyed his father, and he goes into the battlefield, and then he hears one simple decision to just obey, right? One simple decision just to obey. He goes into the battlefield, and he hears a man named Goliath. How many of you know David and Goliath's story? From one little simple obedience to his father to go visit his brothers and find out what's wrong with them. How are they doing? He hears a guy that's about 8 feet tall, big warrior, cursing God, cursing Israel, calling them all kinds of names. And from there, you know what happens. David's get really zealous for God. And when he gets really zealous for God, he says, I'm going to go and fight him. He goes and fights him. He defeats him. And he becomes a hero in one day. A lot of us are waiting for God to ask us, go fight a Goliath. He's not asking you to fight a Goliath. He's asking you to obey him on a simple thing. And many times, simple decisions lead you to unexpected success. Amen. Moses was also a shepherd. He came one day to a bush that was burning. And he kept looking at him. He's like, am I crazy? Why is this bush burning but not burning up? What's going on here? And when he was looking at it, the bush started talking to him. If the bush starts talking to you, you're probably crazy. And Moses was thinking, whoa, what? I must have had a sunstroke or something. But God spoke to him through the bush. Amen? And when God spoke to him, Moses had to make a simple choice, simple decision. Am I going to follow you or am I going to reject you and go back to my sheep? How many of you know David, Moses, made a decision, simple decision, to follow God, to obey. Simple decision to follow God and to obey. Many people, when it comes to good decisions, we take forever. We're super slow when it comes to good decisions. We start making excuses. I got to pray about it. You know, I got to read more Bible. You know what? You don't have to pray about anything that God clearly commands in His Word. And if you're using that excuse, it's not going to work, because Bible already clearly says, if you believe, you should be baptized. There's other ones, but... And it's not just message about baptism, because I want to ask you, what is God asking you to do? Maybe you've been baptized. So the message is still for you. You might be thinking, Pastor, you're all about baptisms. It doesn't apply to me. No. What is that simple decision that God asking you to do? Maybe it's you need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe it's, I don't know, go fill out an application. Or maybe to take a job that maybe you don't think is the best for you. But God is telling you, go take that job. Go do something. Amen. God is asking you not to make a huge decision. He will ask you to make a simple decision. There was a man. He was a politician in Acts chapter 8. This man was coming to Jerusalem to worship. And after he worshiped, he was coming back and he was reading Isaiah. There was also another man, a man of God named Philip. Philip was an evangelist. And God said to him, Philip, I want you to go on. And Philip was in the city. And the thing is about Philip that he was having a great revival. He had tons of people following him. He was healing people, casting out demons. He was doing crazy things for God. And God says, leave this place now and go on an empty road that I will show you. And Philip could have said, no, God, I can't. Don't you see I have a big church going on here? I can't go. But Philip says, fine, I'll go. And so Philip goes to this road. He sees this Ethiopian eunuch riding a chariot. And the Spirit of the Lord says, come to him and join his chariot. So Philip runs closer to the chariot and he hears a man reading Isaiah. And Philip asks him, do you know what you're reading? And the man says, how can I know what I'm reading if nobody explains it to me? He didn't have a Holy Spirit. He wasn't born again. There was nobody to explain it to him. Philip says, well, let me tell you. So Philip's explaining to him about Jesus. And probably explain to him, what do you need to do after you believe in Jesus? He said, when you believe in Jesus, you have to be baptized. And happens to be that they were driving by a pond, right? And Philip starts saying, look at this. As they rode alone, verse 36, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? What's stopping me from being baptized? That's the question. And today that question sounds the same to you. What is stopping you from being baptized? If you have been a Christian for a while, what's stopping you? Well, you might have some excuses, and I'm ready to answer those excuses. Well, Pastor Alex, you know what? I didn't bring any clothes. You know, I didn't bring any shorts, like you said. I should have probably, but you know, I just didn't want to. All right. So I have something here that I want to show you. You know, John says John was sent to prepare a way for Jesus. Well, we've kind of prepared a way for you. We got a heavy t-shirt for you so nobody will see through. Okay. Look at this. Right. So we got a t-shirt. We got hairspray. We got gel. We got makeup remover. We got boxers and ladies. Can't say that word in church. Just kidding. We got shorts for you. Huh. They're new. Nobody wear this stuff. So the question is, what's stopping you from being baptized? Okay, we got combs, we got ponytail holders, hair holders, we got everything. We got other women's supplies that I'm not going to talk about today in church. All right? So, if you're saying, I can't be baptized, we have towels for you when you walk out of the water. We've prepared the way. So my question is, what's stopping you from being baptized? Do you believe? Yes, I believe. Well, then, how long have you been a Christian? A year. Well, how come you haven't been baptized? I don't think you need to be. Well, Jesus clearly says, Pastor, aren't you being a little pushy? Why are you pushing people so hard? Well, I'm not going to apologize for telling you to do what Bible clearly says for you to do. You've been a lukewarm or steady Christians way too long. Now it's time to take a step. Every time you obey the word of God, you take a step. Every time you obey the word of God, you take a step. Amen? Amen. Well, some of you might be saying, well, Pastor, I've been baptized already. I'll ask you, when have you been baptized? Well, I've been baptized as a baby. Well, so have all of us. But just because you were baptized as a baby, it wasn't your decision. Jesus was circumcised as a baby. That was kind of equivalent to the blessing. But when he grew up, he had to be baptized. See, when you were baptized as a baby, it wasn't your decision. It was the decision of your parents. Guess what they were praying to God for? They were saying this, God, when my kids grow up, I want them to serve you. Why else would they baptize you? It's not some superficial, spooky thing where if you don't get your kids baptized, they'll go to hell if they die. No, it's just, baptism is symbolic. It's a step of obedience. It's a public step of obedience. So your parents baptized you when you were a baby. So when you grow up, you would follow Christ on your own. Many people were baptized as babies, grow up to be atheists. Do you think that baptism is going to do them any good? Baby baptism is not going to do you any good. Unless when you grow up, you make your own decision. Our kids are growing up and they're in that age 8 and 7. We're telling them, our God is not going to be enough for you. You're going to have to find your own God. We want you to find your own God. There's only one God, so you can't find a wrong God. But I don't want them to think that just because my parents are pastors that we're covered, we're good, Pastor. No. You're going to have to find this God for yourself. You're going to have to accept Him as your own Lord and Savior. You're going to have to be baptized on your own. Yes, when you were little, we brought you, we blessed you, baptized you, whatever you want to call it, but dedicated you to the Lord. But when you grow up, you're going to have to make your decision. Amen? So I hope we disperse that myth or that excuse. Another one, I just have an irrational fear. Many people, when it comes to baptism, they have irrational fear. They start fearing for some reason. Like, they've never took a shower before or never took a bath before. What do you think it's going to be? You think there's a shark in there? You think there's piranhas swimming in there that's going to come and get you? No. Watch. I'll put my finger in there. Ah! No. And the water's pretty warm. The water's pretty warm. It was cold, but Earl was bringing buckets of hot water in there. Oh, hallelujah. Let's see. What other excuses people have? But Pastor, when I get baptized, I don't know if I want to be a member of New Life Church. Well, that's a legitimate question. We baptize you hoping that you would be a member of New Life Church. But you're not being baptized into New Life Church. You are being baptized into Christ. You're fulfilling all truth. You're doing what He called you to do. The thing is, we're so fast on making bad decisions. We get a credit card. People get drunk and put a tattoo where they don't, when they wake up. And what does it say? People make a lot of decisions. People, you know, try things they shouldn't try. Fast, without thinking about it. People they go to bed together without even thinking too hard about it. That's a big decision. That could get somebody pregnant. Well, the girl pregnant. And people make fast decisions. But when it comes to making a decision for Jesus, somehow we have this irrational fear. That irrational fear is not from God, it's from the devil. The devil is trying to stop you and saying, don't get baptized. Don't take the next step with God. God is speaking to you through the Holy Spirit today, using my voice, saying, would you obey me? Would you be baptized today? So, there's only two responses that could come. There's two responses that could come from today's message. One is, I am not ashamed and I will follow Jesus. So there will be people today who will say, I will follow. I will follow Jesus. I'm not ashamed. I will be baptized today. There will be other people who will say, well, I got to pray about it more. And you know my answer. God bless you. Prayer is always good. But God is not going to tell you anything different than what I already told you today. So some will say, I will follow. Others will say, I will doubt. And I'm sorry to put you on a spot. I really am. I do love you. I'm your pastor. I love you. And I want what's best for you. I want God to use you. I don't want you to be a Christian who's just Christian on Sunday for 1 hour. I want you to go in the city and be the light. God has a great plan for you. But you're waiting for Him to say something big when He's saying, would you follow me? Will you follow me? Will you choose to be baptized like I was baptized? Bible says when Jesus was baptized, that's the first time in the Bible He heard a voice from heaven. When Jesus got out of the water, He heard a voice saying, this is my beloved Son from heaven. The voice is from heaven, in whom I'm well pleased. When you get baptized, when you make a simple act of obedience, God is saying to you, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. But my hair is going to get old. Pastor, I don't know. You know, people are going to be baptized and the water is going to be kind of... We'll baptize you first. Come on. Or second. You know where Jesus was baptized? In the Jordan River. That's where cows came to feed and drink. And sometimes they would. There won't be enough time for people to do that. No. The water over here is cleaner than the water in the ocean, in the clearest ocean. I can guarantee you that. It's a nice, warmish, clear, pure, non-salty water. So what is your decision today?